Events in recent weeks have made the specter of domestic terrorism feel more like an everyday reality, rather than something on the fringes that seemed incredibly scary, but was rare. So how is the U.S. government prioritizing domestic terrorism? In February of 2017, the Trump administration announced it wanted to refocus the Department of Homeland Security's Countering Violent Extremism, or CVE, program to Countering Islamic Extremism, to focus solely on Islamist extremism. But that September, FBI Director Wray said the agency took far-right extremist threats, quote, very, very seriously, end quote, and the FBI had 1,000 related investigations underway. To learn more about what's being done or what can be done, I'm joined by Karen Greenberg, Director of the Center on National Security at Fordham Law School. Karen, how much of a priority is domestic terrorism right now to federal officials?
There's been a lot of rhetoric about it becoming a high priority. You know, look, I don't want to condemn law enforcement for you know, not being preventive or preemptive about it. But I think that we've been seeing for quite a while, when you've looked at many of the what were called international terrorism cases, in other words, those individuals who were investigated and often indicted for wanting to or committing acts of violence in the name of Islamic fundamentalism, jihad, what you often saw when you look into those cases, they were often individuals whose ideology was not necessarily consistent. They might have started out caring about one cause and moved to another cause. Some of them were people who tried to join the U.S. Army and were booted out for one reason or another, and then joined a gang, and then maybe joined ISIS or wanted to commit violence in the name of ISIS. So the takeaway from that is that what we were seeing was not just incidents of individuals who identified with terrorism as international terrorism, but individuals in the United States, young individuals, usually men, who wanted to commit violence and who were driven to violence. And so the takeaway, even before now, has been that we're living in an age of increasing youth violence.
I do recall that when Janet Napolitano was Homeland Security Secretary, she got some criticism when she had said that there were a lot of concerns about some far-right groups in the U.S. and that maybe that needed to be more of a focus, not in lieu of post-9/11 and concerns about Islamic terrorists or wherever they may be from, but of more of a focus on that. Has this become too much of a right versus left issue in terms of what the priority should be, or are the people who are actually doing the work day by day not focused on that, and that's more of a something in the noise that we all hear day by day here?
You know, I think it's fluid. I think that, you know, this is something you can ask the FBI and perhaps local law enforcement to address. But how do you, you know, who do you look at preventively in this regard is a question that probably has some national dimension, but is often very localized. Anti-Semitism has been on happening more and more frequently. And there, particularly here in New York, we've seen an escalation of incidents in recent months. So, I mean, I think I wouldn't call that right or left. I would say that it's just a variety of forms of we're living in an age of hate and violence, and it can take many, many different forms. And so the question for law enforcement and for society at large becomes, how do we prevent this? And so there are different means of preventing it. One is on the end of how do you prevent something as it starts? If you have an active shooter, if you have a terrorist who shows up in a public space, how quickly can you respond? So that's one piece of it. Another piece of it is how do you and can you detect people who might go down that road? And this is where you get into, I think, the one huge issue here, and it doesn't apply to all of these crimes, is access to guns. But there are just so many ways to approach this. And until it's on your screen as a priority, you're not going to be able to look into it either at the local, the state, or the national level the way you need to.
I'm not sure whether the phrase lone wolf is overused, but does that affect or should it affect how investigations go, how things are looked into, how things are potentially prevented?
You know, we've been in this predictive or attempt to be predictive period since 9/11, you know, who is it, whether it's about Islamist terrorism or something else, all of these algorithms, you know, who do we think might prove to be an attacker? Who can we divert? Who do we need to try to intervene with ahead of time? there's no magic solution. All of these cases are individual, and that's really the problem. Yes, you can guess that some individual might act out, but you can't really detect at what point. And so I know that a lot of individuals will say, well, we need to revamp mental health in the company and in the country, as if that's some kind of magic wand that will solve things. I think it's really about, and this is going to sound a little bit idealistic, and there are a lot of steps to getting here, but what you need to do is to find some kind of mechanism that takes care of people. And it's not just mental health, but why people freak out and flip out, why they panic, why they turn to hate mongers or individuals who hate is something we really need to think about. Because yes, you can call it lone wolves rather than organized groups. And I think you're seeing that. But we really don't know what the relationship between what somebody says out loud or on the internet and what they're actually willing to do is. And this has always been one of the arts of law enforcement, is to figure out how words and language relate to eventual acts. The fact is, we indict and prosecute individuals for the acts they take. And so we need to kind of roll it back. We need to enter a period of more restraint rather than outburst.
Do you have any fear that this domestic terrorism or this hate could somehow be normalized if it's not acted upon? You talk about young people being involved in this. How much time do we have? Are we in danger of losing generations to hatred?
I think ultimately the country will survive this, but the lens of understanding what a terrorist is needs to broaden. And the proactive measures that are done within the law need to be broadened as well. And, you know, there's an example is when you identify an enemy in a way that seems like that will solve the problem. And you, like we did with Muslims in this country, and that's not the problem, then you have to describe it in the larger realistic view. And once you do that, if you're careful and precise and evidence-based, many of these perpetrators will be stopped before they conduct any kind of bad acts. But again, you have to define the problem in this broad way in terms of, you know, not just isolating it to one community in order to understand it more fully and to address it more fully.
Karen Greenberg is director of the Center on National Security at Fordham Law School.